Don't look now, but I am about to delve into the chronological framework of the second 3,000 years from Adam. Yeah, how many people do this for you? Especially on a Friday. Good morning, everyone. It is a Friday. I'm Martin Zender, ending the week on the Revelation series here. On the sub-series, the final years of Millennium 6, which is, by the way, the final millennium until the coming of Jesus Christ to set up a literal political kingdom on this planet that will displace the harrowing, deadly, depressing religion and politics that are presently on the planet. It's not that I'm getting tired of the planet, I'm getting tired of the people on the planet and the way they behave and the way they attempt to organize things, the way they drive, the way they take more than 10 items into the grocery aisle, checkout aisle that is designed for only 10 items. I'm counting them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Excuse me. All right. Now, just as the beginning of the first 3,000 years has a simple but effective calendar of generations. What am I talking about? Let me finish that sentence first. Just as the beginning of the first 3,000 years from Adam has a simple but effective calendar of generations, and it does. Remember, Genesis 5, it has a calendar of generations. Thus also, the second 3,000 years is historically covered by the time spans between the reigns of kings. The first 3,000 years, marked by genealogies, the second by reigns of kings. Why divide the 6,000 years into two 3,000 year periods? Because a significant event happened 3,000 years from Adam, and that was the dedication of Solomon's temple. Exactly 3,000 years. That's significant because 3,000 years later comes the dedication of Ezekiel's temple in the millennium. How interesting that Jesus Christ said, tear down this temple, and in 3 days I will rebuild it. Of course, he was speaking of 3 days he would be in the tomb and he would rise again. He was the true temple of God. But I also see another aspect here that I think is quite viable, and that would be the 3 days, the three epical days, the 3 days of Psalm 90, verse 4, the 3,000, that is, the 3,000 years from the time of since the time of the dedication of Solomon's temple. Yeah, that's what I meant to say. Okay, just as the beginning of the first 3,000 years has a simple but effective calendar of generations, which presents itself through the time spans between the births of generations, that is the years between the birth of a kid, another kid comes, that's another span of years, add them all up as we did, and you find a complete record of time. So the beginning of the second 3,000 years is historically covered by the time spans between the enthronements of regents, that is the reigns of kings. This is, I'm borrowing from F.H. Bader here. He likes to call them regents, doesn't like to call them kings, and he likes to call enthronements. He prefers that term to the term reign. Immediately after the reign of Solomon begins the time of the divided regency. Israel was split into two houses at this time, the house of Israel, the house of Judah. It was a civil war in Israel, Jeroboam and Rehoboam. Following Solomon, the kingdom was split up. Now, God had a reason for doing that. Of course, God has a reason for doing everything. I've talked to you about that before. It has to do with the remnant of Israel, but I don't want to get into it now. But the divided regency of the house of Judah from the house of Israel. Now, during this time and up to the deportation of the 10 tribe people, Now, there were two deportations. The 10 tribes people, that is the northern kingdom of Israel, headquartered in Samaria in the year 722 BC. They were taken into captivity to Assyria. I said I wasn't going to get into this. It looks like I am. They never returned from that captivity. This is known as the House of Israel. They were scattered among every nation on earth. I believe that's Amos 9:9. They never returned, unlike the captivity of the southern house, the house of Judah, which was deported to Babylon. They did return from that captivity, in fact, 70 years later. And from the house of Judah comes the term Jew. It's an adaptation of Judah. It's a slang term, kind of, and it used to only refer to anyone from the house of Judah. They were a Jew. What was somebody from the house of Israel? An Izzer. I don't know. An Izzy. I don't know. They're just the house of Israel, but a Judah was Jew. Jew later came to be a general term to describe anyone of Abrahamic descendancy that has come through Isaac. So during the time up to the deportation of the 10 tribe people in 722 BC, there is a kind of double entry bookkeeping. This is what I'm telling you is so important, that God backs himself up. He has several checks and balances. There's a double entry bookkeeping which secures the dates more strongly. You have the years from Adam, and you have the years of the enthronements of the regents, or the years of the reigns of the kings. We'll use some Bader language here. He would be happy with us, the enthronements of the regents. From the year 722 BC to the beginning of the deportations of the house of Judah to Babel in the year, that was 606 BC, there are 116 years between the time of those deportations, in which reigned Hezekiah, Manasseh, Amon, and Josiah. And furthermore, in the period from 974 to 606 BC, there are the synchronizing dates of the Sabbath years. So here again is a third way to keep track of time. You have the years from Adam. That's the first way to keep track of time. You have the reigns of the regents of Israel, the enthronements, and then you have the sabbatical years also, the Sabbath years, which additionally support the extensive, and I think you agree, this is what we have here, an extensive system of numbers. I'm not one to be a big fan of Persian kings like Artaxerxes or Nebuchadnezzar, and yet the biblical statements about the years of reign of the Persian kings agrees to a large extent with the dates of world history. So they get it right. World history gets it right for a change. It agrees with the biblical account. And so the year 445 BC is important, an important date for the last time bridge that we need. That is establishing the time between the decree of Artaxerxes to rebuild Jerusalem until the time of the coming governor, that is the Messiah. Very important time. And it is not biblically questioned or historically doubtful that it was the year 445 BC. So from this point of time runs, according to, I have a scribble mark on here and I can't read, I scribbled over it. Daniel 9:25. Right. Okay. From this point, that is 445 BC, the reign of Artaxerxes and the decree to rebuild Jerusalem. From this point of time runs, according to Daniel 9:25, the time bridge of 69 periods of seven, which I've been talking about, 483 years. These 69 periods of seven are reckoned as 483 prophetic years of 360 days each, or 476 solar years of 365 days each, plus 116 leap days, plus 24 days. And see, this is Bader now. I'm telling you, I told you, this was very technical. They end in the year of the death of Messiah. Okay, that answers the question I had yesterday. The year 32 AD. And the year 32 AD is the death of Christ. Ernest Martin, sees that date. Eduardo Mahler sees that date. That date's everywhere, 32 AD. That's pretty solid. Now, if we consider that 3.5 years before the death of Christ, namely the Hebrew month of Tishri, it would be 28 AD. 28 AD began the 3.5 year ministry of Christ. Exactly 3.5 years, ending in his death in March, April of 32. And it would be 4,000 years from Annum. That is, the public appearance of the Messiah was 4,000 years from Annum. That's when it had its beginning. Then we find here the end of the first 1,000-year period of the second 3,000 years. Did you get that? The big picture is we've been looking at two 3,000-year periods. Time from Adam to the dedication of Solomon's temple, then from the dedication of Solomon's temple to the dedication of Ezekiel's temple in the kingdom. That would to inaugurate the kingdom. That's 6,000 years total. Jesus came at the end of the first 1,000 years after the first 3,000 years. Did you get that? I actually understand that. I actually am following myself as I'm talking. I'll say it again. I'll just read it from Chronology of the Bible by F.H. Bader. If we consider that 3.5 years before, that is before the death of Christ in 32 AD, if we consider that 3.5 years before, namely in Tishri, 28 AD, 4,000 years F.A., the public appearance of the Messiah had its beginning, then we find here the end of the first 1,000 years of the second 3,000 years, which went from 973 B.C. to 28 A.D. Considering the statement in Psalm 90, verse 4, that 1,000 years correspond to one watch of the night, and that with the public appearance of the Messiah, and he's represented as the sun, interestingly enough, that's S-U-N, I'll give you a reference there, Psalm 19, verses 5 and 6. Then the four watches of the night since the fall of Adam have passed. They're in history books. And they ended with the conclusion of the first 4,000 years, which is the coming of Christ. So I think there's corresponding nights and there's corresponding days. We entered a large night after Adam failed. Jesus Christ was the day. He came, but he went into the grave for a short night. And he came out of the grave. And now we're in a 2,000-year period, and there's going to be another night of 2 3.5-year periods before the coming day. That's all I got for this week. I hope that's enough. I gave you a little bit of meat. I struggle with the numbers and the times, but other people have got it knocked down. I'm straining to grasp them. We have so many things that come together. As I said, I'm going to end the week with this. So many things come together. The sabbatical years, 50 sabbatical years from the time of Christ's reading of the Isaiah scroll in Nazareth. We have 6,000 years from Adam. To find that out, we have counted the generations of Adam up to the first 3,000 years. After 3,000 years, we've counted the reigns of the kings of Judah. 3,000 years from Adam, we have the first temple. 3,000 years after Adam, we will have the inauguration of the millennial temple that Ezekiel prophesied over. Of course, what I meant to say there was that 3,000 years from Adam came the dedication of Solomon's temple. In fact, that is what I said. But then I said that 3,000 years from Adam comes the dedication of Ezekiel's temple. Of course, both things can't be true. What I meant to say was, from the time of the dedication of Solomon's temple, there's another 3,000 years. 3,000 years from that time, from the dedication of Solomon's temple to the dedication of Ezekiel's temple, is another period of 3,000 years. Jesus Christ came 4,000 years from Adam, which is the equivalent of four watches of the night. He entered a night by his death. Adam entered a night also after 3.5 years in the garden. Adam was 3.5 years in the garden, entered a death, so to speak. Jesus Christ was 3.5 years public ministry from his announcement. He entered a literal death. He came out of it. So now we're 2,000 years of illumination. This is a time of salvation, and yet the earth is going to enter another 3.5 years period of night, which is the second half of the last 7 years of Daniel's prophecy. Forgot to mention that. Another piece of evidence. You put all this together and you combine it with the constellation coming up, which I believe is exactly 3.5 years before the beginning of the tribulation. Yes, I, Martin Zender, see another 3.5 year period to precede the final 2 3.5 year periods, namely the awakening of some in Israel, and to go into the wilderness to prepare them for the tribulation, which in my reckoning begins in the spring of 2021. This has been Martin Zender. Take it easy. Try to enjoy the weekend.